This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, before we get started, yes, there will be politics involved because Stephen Bassett is here, and we're going to talk about UFO disclosure. Most importantly, as we record this show, it's Thursday, November 12th. You'll be hearing it on the 15th of November. And we are, of course, as listeners outside of the U.S. may not realize, living in two realities here. There is Earth 1, which we sometimes call Earth Prime, and there is Earth 2, which we call Earth 2. Now, what this means is that there's a large number of people who will tell you that as a result of the election and the counting that has gone on so far, that Joseph Biden is the president-elect. There are other people who will say that massive voter fraud has been proven and therefore Trump will still be president. On the other hand, no court has concluded that. And a survey of all the executives in charge of voting in the 50 states by the AP and New York Times has revealed no indication of voter fraud. So we're not going to get into that. We'll just assume for the time being is that the election has gone to Biden and that any of the things that relate to UFO disclosure will depend on that. Stephen Bassett, do you think that sums it up?
I agree. We have to go on the basis of what we know and make the best assessment. In terms of the election outcome, I've read plenty about it, Lord knows. And I have to assume, with relatively high confidence, that Biden is going to be inaugurated on the 20th of January.
Okay, so let's go on that assumption here. Now, during the campaign, I do not recall Biden saying anything or Harris saying anything with regard to UFO disclosure. This is very unlike as it was during the 2016 campaign where Secretary Clinton was very vocal when asked about wanting a UFO investigation. So Biden has said nothing. Are you aware of anything different?
No, he hasn't said anything. And by the way, all of those comments from the Clinton team in that last election, that was my doing. As I've told you in the past, that was a project that I initiated and essentially generated that media coverage.
I was a little bit disappointed with Obama because I know that in one of your previous interviews, you know, you were thinking that Obama was going to be the disclosure president. And I was hopeful because I think personally that he's been one of the best presidents that you guys have had in many years. And yet he was rather dismissive of the whole thing. When he was asked about life on other worlds, he says, well, I don't know about life on other worlds, but I know that there's life here. And then he got a whole great big round of applause. And it just seemed to really trivialize the whole thing. And so that was a bit of a disappointment.
Now, we're talking about Obama when he was president, becoming the disclosure president.
Right. And this was, yeah, and you were commenting about that, thinking that he probably would be. And then when he was asked about it during one of his interviews, that was his response. And so, I mean, do you feel sort of let down by Obama in some ways on that?
Not exactly. I didn't say he probably would be. This is it's a lot very complicated. Essentially, Clinton's intention on the ET issue in her first campaign is not clear. I was not in a position to really do much. I tried to get the Clinton ET connection into the media, but I was in a much different place than I was 8 years later. So I didn't really get much coverage. It was much not coverage. She didn't really have to respond during the debates. and so forth. And before you knew it, she was out of the, she had lost essentially the nomination. So now Obama comes in. And the situation then, from my perspective, was this. I knew about the Clinton ET connection, all the way back to the Rockefeller Initiative. I felt that if she won the presidency in 2008, that she probably was going to open those doors. But I didn't feel as strongly as I did 8 years later. So the situation with the ET issue is unknown. Now, there were two problems. One, for the Clintons to sort of read Obama into their strategies about the ET issue, would it not serve them? In other words, they would have might resulted in him being the disclosure president. I don't think she wanted that. She wanted to be the disclosure president. She understood how big a legacy that was. On the other hand, it was clear, I think, to them early on that he was going to serve for 8 years. And the evidence and the progress of the disclosure movement was not going to stop. It was going to continue forward. There's going to be more things happening, and there were, to increase the pressure on the truth embargo. It might cave in. So they were kind of in a dilemma there. Do we tell them our thoughts? Do we kind of hold back, see what happens? I don't know what took place in the early days of the Obama administration. But I did raise the point in a couple of interviews that given the fact that the Clinton ET thing was out there, given the fact that he had brought her into the administration, had made Podesta his campaign chairman, brought Leanne Panetta into the administration, that there was a clear overlap. And it was very possible that the Clintons might conclude that rather than risk, conclude that it might be best to go ahead and maybe assist Barack Obama to be a disclosure president, which was fine with me. And we targeted his administration. I mean, there was plenty of stuff aimed at the administration to try to force it to address the issue. You remember the We the People and the petitions and all that stuff. But Obama walked into a financial crisis, extraordinary financial crisis, which tied his hands for some time. He also was dealing with an extraordinarily recalcitrant and difficult Senate, bitter bipartisanship. It's going to be very difficult to get anything done. So frankly, the ET thing was not on his table. Now, did at some point the Clintons bring him into the picture? I think they did, but it was toward the end. As he's in the deep into the second term, I think she is seeing that, okay, this is not going to happen under his term. It's going to be mine. But nevertheless, it would probably be a good idea for him to get a sense of where things are going. And that is why I think he brought Podesta into the White House to be an advisor in the last 13, 14 months of his administration. Well, actually, let me take that back. It was not the last 13 months. From about January of 2014 through February 2015, he brought Podesta into his administration for reasons that were never clear. And I think that's when he probably got briefed about where things were going. And where things were going was the To the Stars Academy, that something was going on in the Pentagon. So I think he got tipped off there. So I'm not disappointed he didn't disclose. I understand fully why that just wasn't possible. And you may recall that during the campaign for her election, when because of all the articles that were being written about the ET issue and her, which again was that was my project, that's what I was doing in D.C. was driving those pieces into the media. He went on Kimmel, he went on Ellen DeGeneres, and he took ET questions. He handled them deftly. He wasn't really dismissive or ridiculing. But he handled them. And in other words, he was playing along. You know, she went on Kimmel. Podesta went on a couple of shows. Her husband, Bill Clinton, went on Kimmel. So he was part of the, how would you say, breadcrumbs that they were tossing out to the media, which generated even more media, setting the stage for what was to come. So in that sense, I think he did his part. Now, once Trump wins, she goes silent, Bill goes silent, and he goes silent. In other words, they completely stay away from the ET issue, which I think most journalists didn't even note. Meaning, wow, you're talking about the ET issue like for a year and a half, and you're on these shows and so forth, and you lose, and suddenly you're not talking about it anymore, like it's not an issue anymore? Of course, I understood why.
We got more to come with Stephen Bassett and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hello, Paracast people. I'm Greg Carlwood, the host of the Higher Side Chats podcast, an uninterrupted and action-packed interview-based show where I talk to some of the brightest minds for our troubled times about all things paranormal, occult, esoteric, and conspiratorial. After 10 years, we've heard it all. Alien moon bases, archons, hollow earth, technocratic and biomedical agendas, magic, mind control, and Lovecraftian monsters. Oh my. Usually, the first hour of the show is free, and the second hour is for members who sign up for the Higher Side Chats Plus at $8 a month. But praise be, we're giving Paracast listeners 2 free weeks of Plus when you use the all caps coupon code PARACAST. Go to thehiresidechats.com, sign up with the code PARACAST, and dive into the nearly never-ending archive of great interviews I've been lucky enough to get over the years, from David Politis to David Icke, and many, many guests not named David. Check it out. You're going to love it. All right, Gene, was that good? Can we use that one?
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Do you have health or energy challenges? Would you like to support your health and energy from a product that people consistently feel the uplifting and health-building effects from the first day they consume it? I introduce you to Green Meadow Whey, the only whey protein powder from grass-pastured cows that is processed in a manner that ensures that the proteins and amino acids remain in their correct geometric shape that the body can use. The naturally occurring proteins, peptides, and amino acids in renatured whey are proven to support multiple aspects of human health, from complementing your immune system to neutralizing chronic inflammation, to supporting detoxification, to stabilization of blood sugar, and more. Additionally, due to the Tesla-like frequencies encoded into Green Meadow Whey, it is a dramatic support for your energy and mood. And it is an excellent emergency preparedness food with well over a 5-year shelf life. To order, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit greenmeadowway.com. Greenmeadowway.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, we're obviously recapping the president's and disclosure up till now. Now, personally, then, we see no evidence that Obama had any kind of interest at all in UFOs.
There is no evidence that he had a personal interest in it. That doesn't mean he didn't. But given his background and where he came out of Chicago and so forth, I don't see reason why he would. Now, does that mean he did not? He dismissed it as a national security matter? Does that mean that if people like Hillary Clinton was interested in the issue, that he would dismiss that? No. So we really don't know where he's at it personally. He certainly has stayed out of it. He's written books. He's not talked about it. So we'll consider him completely neutral at this point on the subject, other than his two appearances, at least two, during her campaign, where he arranged for a question to be asked about the ET issue of him. So neutral. I wouldn't be surprised if Obama, if things really break out next year, as I suspect, will be quite supportive of the truth process and of getting disclosure under Biden.
Now, let me ask you a very fast question with regard to that. Would that, therefore, disprove any expectation that a U.S. president is briefed on UFOs after they take office?
How can I put this? A lot of presidents have not given a proper briefing on the ET issue. We know that. I think a few got pretty damn good briefings, which would include certainly Eisenhower and Truman, very likely H.W. Bush, possibly Nixon. But other presidents, not so much, and some not at all, which is, of course, wrong. It's not the way the country's supposed to operate. It's unconstitutional, and it's not a good thing. So can it be fixed? Well, let's look at the Biden situation. If I'm right about what's going to go down here, and given the activities of TTSA, I think there is a pretty good chance that this time, now whether it occurs during the transition or whether it occurs after he's in the White House, I think he's going to be given a very substantial briefing on the ET issue. Because if we're going to have hearings, we're going to see the witnesses coming in and really laying it out there under oath, which is going to generate massive interest. And if we're heading for disclosure, I don't think the Department of Defense wants to have a situation where the President, Biden, is learning a lot of this stuff for the first time. In other words, at some point, the public is going to learn that, you know, we've been hearing about this study and that study and the ONI and ATIP and all this other stuff. At some point, the public is going to learn, and it won't be much later after disclosure, that the elements of the government have been studying the ET issues intensely for 7 decades. There's a very large number of special access, unacknowledged special access programs, and that the presidents haven't been briefed. They're going to learn that. And so you don't want Biden to be learning it at the same time the people are learning that. And so there's going to be a delicate situation where Biden's going to be briefed full extent of the extraterrestrial issue with maybe a few limitations. At the same time, he'll know that hearings are coming together or maybe underway, whatever, and that there is an effort to finally resolve this truth embargo backed by a substantial segment in the Pentagon. And it's all going to work out. You're going to be the disclosure president. That's how I would do it. Now, they may not do that. They may just say, we're just going to, you know, let Biden find out about the deeper stuff after the fact, and hopefully he'll be kind to us or not be too upset. I mean, that's a possibility, too. Well, I wouldn't do it that way. And, of course, if he got an extensive briefing, let's say they gave him a briefing in December that really laid it out. Here's what we know about the ET issue. Here's the types of research that are underway. And we're going to get hearings underway, and we're going to support those hearings. There's going to be plenty of witnesses, and we're going to move towards hopefully an announcement. Would Biden suddenly go, oh, no, I got to tell the people now. Yeah, you've told me some extraordinary stuff. He'll have a right to know, because I'm going to tell him now, or as soon as I'm inaugurated. I don't think so. He would probably say, good, I'm glad to have this background. I need to know the larger picture. Let's proceed with the hearings, and let's develop the testimony in front of the American people, and let's assume that very likely that it will lead to my making a formal announcement. That's how you would like. I would like to see it go down. That's the way it ought to go down. That's just my assessment of what's in the best interest of the country and what makes sense. But maybe they won't brief him. Maybe they'll just leave him in the dark, work the hearings through. Suddenly it's like, well, Mr. President, guess what? I guess the ET thing must be real. And then he says, okay, and he makes the announcement. And then 2 weeks later, they tell him, and by the way, you know, we've sort of known about it since 47. And we've been studying it like you wouldn't believe, and you can't imagine how many special programs we've got, you know, in underground facilities. I don't think that's the conversation I'd want to have.
Well, the thing is, too, we have to bear in mind that Biden has been a creature of Washington for years. He was in the Senate with the Foreign Relations Committee and everything for decades. He was Obama's right-hand man.
Right.
And none of this would have come to his attention in all these years, especially during those 8 years.
Oh, look. He was in the Senate when Corso's book came out. He was in the Senate during Project Blue Book. Did you go back that far? I mean, he has been in Washington while all manner of things regarding this issue have taken place. And I can't imagine that somehow he missed all that. Now, think about it, though. Joe Biden is a relatively moderate politician with an absolute lifelong burning desire to become president. He's run 3 times. He's noted for being able to get along with both Democrats and Republicans. So whatever he may have learned over the 50 years that he's been, say 40, almost 50 years that he has been serving us in Washington, D.C., for him to say, oh, maybe I should go there, would have been to put his presidential hopes at risk. And I don't think he was going to do that. Most of the time, he would have been a loner. In other words, it was the case for most people. They may have gotten some information and going, wow, this is huge. Do I step forward? Well, there's nobody there to step forward with them. Everybody's sort of isolated under the truth embargo. And he had presidential aspirations. So maybe one day he'll tell us, yeah, I had a suspicion. I knew this. I heard about that. I didn't have enough to move forward. I chose not to speak about it. Because you could imagine if Joe Biden, say, in his first run of the presidency, which goes back how many years, had mentioned the
300 at least. I think it's 300 years.
Yeah. Mentioned the E.T. issue like Jimmy Carter did. It would not have gone well for him. And so he is kept silent. One day he may tell us what his thoughts were on it, what his thinking was, what he might have learned from time to time, and why he didn't move forward. We may learn that one day. But I'm not surprised he hasn't said anything.
We've got Stephen Bassett joining us, and we're talking about disclosure and how 2021 may be with regard to these various developments with the election. More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Oregon and New Mexico are the latest states to impose some form of a lockdown to try to curb the spread of the coronavirus. In New Mexico, Governor Michelle Grisham has closed non-essential locations in the state for 2 weeks starting on Monday. And in Oregon, Governor Kate Brown has imposed what she's calling a two-week freeze, closing indoor dining, gyms, and recreational facilities, and reducing capacity at grocery stores and pharmacies. Brown says the aim of her orders is to help reduce the strain on the state's hospital system.
It's a very dangerous situation, and our hospitals have been sounding the alarm. This isn't just about COVID-19 patients. The next time you need medical care, the last thing you want to hear is that the ambulance has no place to go.
North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum announced a mask mandate on Friday night, also imposing a 10 p.m. curfew on all bars and restaurants in his state. This is USA Radio News. A federal judge has ruled that Acting Secretary of Homeland Security Chad Wolf was unlawfully appointed, and his order suspending applications for the Obama-era Deferred Action on Childhood Arrivals program is invalid. Wolf was appointed to the acting director's role in November of 2019 and was formally nominated for the position in August, but has not been confirmed by the Senate. Judge Nicholas Garifuss' ruling said that Wolf was never in the official order of succession at DHS, meaning his ascension to the role of secretary was unlawful. As a result, his suspension of the DACA program back in July was ruled invalid. Another tropical storm is churning in the Caribbean Sea and could be taking aim at areas hard hit last week by Hurricane Eta. Tropical storm Iota formed Friday and is expected to strengthen into a major hurricane before approaching Nicaragua and Honduras, bringing strong winds and torrential rains to an area already trying to recover from damage and flooding from Eta. Hurricane watches are already in effect for most of the eastern coasts of Honduras and Nicaragua. The storm is expected to make landfall Monday night or Tuesday morning. This is USA Radio News.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
This is Micah Hanks of the Grayling Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
To be very speculative and look at Earth 2 for a second, Stephen Bassett, had Trump won, as they still believe in Earth 2, mm-hmm. would that have changed the possibility of disclosure for next year?
Absolutely. I may have mentioned this on an earlier show. There were four possible outcomes. There are some other remote possibles, but the four possible outcomes were Trump wins, the Republicans hold the Senate. Trump loses, the Republicans hold the Senate. Biden wins, the Republican loses the Senate. Trump wins, the Republican loses the Senate. And every one of those would be a very different political environment in 2021, with its own implications and complications. So now it's down to two possibilities. Biden and the Republicans keep the Senate. Biden and the Republicans lose it. All right, so let's go back to the Trump win. It is my thinking, until I am contradicted, that the people supporting the To the Stars Academy within the Department of Defense and other agencies, and the people in the To the Stars Academy, of which we have come to know, familiar with, the two most recognized are probably Chris Mellon and Luis Elizondo, that they had originally planned to get the TTSA out the door shortly after Clinton won. And then once she was in the presidency, they were going to, get out the door means bring out the Nimitz stuff, go to the New York Times, get some articles going, and when she becomes president, move to get hearings quickly. And she would have known it. She would have known that's what they intended to do, and obviously been totally supportive. And then, of course, the situation would have arisen where she would have been the disclosure president. I think that was the plan all along. When Trump won, obviously they had to change the plan. And it was worse than that. It wasn't just that Trump won and Clinton didn't win. In the last days of the campaign, the WikiLeaks dump of Podesta's emails was another serious problem. It outed Tom DeLonge's engagement with Podesta. It outed some names that were kind of involved in the build up to what eventually became the TTSA. It was not good at all. So I think everything was kind of put on hold, and they stepped back and regrouped in various ways. Maybe some of the people were, personnel were changed. Maybe the support inside the Pentagon altered. Who knows? But they simply stepped back and go, well, this just hasn't worked out like we wanted it to. All right. We know that 11 months later, they did elect to launch the TTSA. And obviously, they had gotten things to where they needed to get, and they felt they needed to do it, which is a very interesting thing. I'd love to know why they decided to do that. One day, maybe somebody will tell me. Why did they wait? And then, once they launched, right, with the New York Times articles, why didn't they come down with some more blockbusters? They could have come out with more information. They could have maybe gotten more gun cameras. They could have pushed this thing really hard. But they didn't quite do that. They kind of took their time. They got the television show, the Unidentified, out on the History Channel, work witnesses, and did things like that as time goes by. And then eventually they slowed down even more. What was going on there? I think fundamentally, in the minds of the TTSA and their backers in the military intelligence complex, they properly concluded that an event of this magnitude, meaning hearings on the ET issue of substantial size and scope leading to the announcement by the president, is so huge that it really needs to take place in a relatively stable political environment. Just like you don't walk out into the middle of a hurricane and try to play tennis. So they essentially said, we're going to slow this down, see what happens during that administration, and then see whether that administration is going to get a second term. So it was a matter of timing and circumstance. And I think it was totally correct decision. This issue to be dropped into the political chaos of America between 2017 and 2020 is just, I just think, would be incredibly irresponsible. And so they didn't. All right. And so now we're heading towards the election. And as we started to move toward the election, things started to pick up a little bit. And a number of things have come out. They opened up their Twitter accounts. Elizondo opened up one in, September and maybe August. And then Mellon opened his up in April. Anticipating, I think, that they thought he was not going to win. And so they're looking to that second term. Fine. And then as we get to the election, it's kind of worked out that way. What happens, though, if Trump had won? And he came extremely close. It's remarkable how close some of those states were. And some of the House seats were like 20 votes apart. What do they do then? Well, they would have had a serious problem. Because the situation was so developed that if Trump takes over, I do not think they can just suddenly decide we're just going to walk away from this. I think it was going to move forward. And they would have moved forward with hearings and moved toward disclosure. I don't think they had any other option. You just couldn't slow walk it for four more years. It's just not possible. And Trump would have been the disclosure president. And that would have gone how it would have gone. But that's, I think, the decision making. I don't think they could have stood down if Trump wins. And it'd be interesting to know what they think about that one day if somebody gets a chance to ask them.
Going back to Clinton, I was watching a video with him where he's being interviewed. And he was asked about the UFO issue, and he said that he looked into it, but he couldn't find anything. And he also said that other things have been kept from other presidents, so maybe that's the case. But I can't help but think that he just didn't look very hard. Do you know what his efforts actually consisted of? Like, what did he do? Who did he assign?
Details? No. I know Podesta was his front person on the files. We know that. Look, when it comes to the ET issue and the truth embargo, everything has to be translated. So when Clinton said, I looked into it and couldn't find anything, that's in truth embargo speak. Translated into real speak, I looked into it and I got stonewalled cold by the DOD. He couldn't find it because they weren't going to let him. And he
He's the president, though. We've talked to, Kevin Randall, and I've asked him about this. I said, look, the president is the commander in chief. Nobody gets to tell him he can't know. If he wants to, he gets to know. That's all there is to it. There is no question about it, no matter what level of security and need to know and all the other garbage that you hear the people talk about for conspiracy theorists. Kevin Randall was in the military. He knows his military stuff, and he's an expert on ufology. He says if a president wants to know, he can find out. And if they don't tell you, he can take a group of soldiers with him over there, have the people removed, and shown the stuff. It's as simple as that.
Look, I have great respect for Kevin, and he's top dog, top quality, but he's wrong. He's right in that, the president has the ability to override anybody in the military intelligence complex about national security matters and information and classification. Yes. And he could take a bunch of troops down to the Pentagon and demand to see the files and walk out the door with them. But it's not as if that doesn't have political consequences. It's not as if it's easy, right? And so they have withheld information from presidents. They have stonewalled presidents. They basically told them. Jimmy Carter is, I think, a pretty good example. We can't absolutely prove it, but there's a deep suspicion. But he was basically told to stay out of this. You don't have a need to know.
It's very interesting here, of course, about Jimmy Carter and whether he was too accepting of things. Maybe that's why he didn't make it to a second term, but that's another story. We have Stephen Bassett. We're doing a disclosure review in light of the U.S. presidential election in 2020 with more to come with Gene. And Randall, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply nutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product.
Within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, I remember Jimmy Carter with his kind of sort of fireside chat about malaise and all these other things. I got the impression he wasn't a terribly strong leader at the time. That's many years ago. Did you have the same impression?
Yeah, lack of leadership can be for many reasons, some less meritorious than others. Jimmy Carter was a good man, a very good man. Generally, Washington, D.C. is not a place where really good men flourish. In other words, it's basically a bar fight. And if you're not prepared to sling chairs and hit people with bottles, you're going to have a rough time. He came in, to the administration politically naive, one of the most politically naive presidents. And they ate him up. They just ate his lunch. It's not funny. To his great credit, he's been one of the most, I think, important and righteous ex-presidents ever. And one of the very first things they did to him, well, you know what they did on the way out, right, with the Iran-Contra hostages and everything else. But when he came in, the UFO issue was in play. He had seized on it. He had talked about it. He got thousands of emails, and he decided to do something about it, totally appropriate. Well, not in Washington, D.C. in 1977. And so they just shut him down. And he knew it. He knew he was being stonewalled. He knew that they were disrespecting him. He put a study together. Eventually, they started to wind down. They had a report done by Marcia Smith. Just sort of, it was a decent report. It was not, it totally shelved, disappeared. She kind of disappeared. And it's very possible that George Bush did tell him, you know, forget about it, Jimmy, in so many words. And so essentially, this man realized that, hey, the government that he knew was not quite what it seems. And he was up against some pretty substantial forces. And in order to compete with the George Bushes of this world and the entrenched people in the Senate, you need to walk into Washington with an army of high-level, big-time contacts who have been around for a long time, who will take your back. He didn't have that. He walked in as a governor of Georgia, a former peanut farmer. And so he just didn't have a chance. So he was a victim in some ways of the truth embargo and the Cold War. Clinton comes in much later. He comes in 91. But interestingly enough, he's very similar to Carter. Southern governor from a southern state, not connected much in Washington, D.C. Got a lot of, in his case, a lot of personal baggage. In other words, he was in a worse state, in my case, than Carter. He came in with all kinds of personal baggage Carter didn't have. So all of that, he walks in, and I don't think he had the slightest intention of engaging the ET issue, I can assure you. And Lawrence Rockefeller sends that fax to to his head of the science department, John Gibbons, and says, I want to talk to you about releasing the files. And history walked in the door. He didn't want it, but it turned up at his door. And of course, the story about how he handled that moment, that opportunity, is pretty well known. There's much more that needs to be known. And so he dealt with it. Now, this is 15 years after Carter made his attempt, which failed. But Clinton was, it was post-Cold War. The Cold War was over. And so the possibility of moving forward was far superior than it was when Carter entered the White House. And Rockefeller turns up. That's why he approached him. The Cold War was over, and Rockefeller felt, as I do, and many others I'm sure did, that the Cold War's over. Let's end this nonsense. Let's get this issue out. Let's get the files out. Now we can deal with this, right? And of course, it didn't quite work out that way. So that's Clinton's kind of experience. Each president has had their own experience with this issue, and Nixon did, Reagan did, Carter certainly. We don't know much of all about what intersection H.W. Bush had, other than almost certainly he was given a pretty good briefing about the E.T. situation. And then we continue forward in time. And the one thing that was consistent through all of these presidencies, going all the way back to Truman, Eisenhower maybe, is that the citizen science activist movement, however unfunded it was, however fractured it was, did nothing but grow year after year after year. People sacrificing other opportunities and money and everything else to pursue this issue because it was so compelling. And we know their names, and we know many that will never know their names. And so it didn't matter whether the president was getting briefed or not getting briefed. The movement continued relentlessly. And guess what? After 73 years since Roswell, the citizen science movement, thanks to the entrance in the field of the military intelligence complex itself, is about to finally end this truth embargo.
Really, though, I mean, because this whole Nimitz thing, it's almost incidental when it comes to the whole history of the subject. And if all of these presidents tried and really couldn't get anywhere with it, you know, what is it that's going on within the military who seem to have a lock on this? What motivation did they have to actually disclose? I'm not sure that it's of any benefit to them, or why would they want to?
Oh, well, let's again, try to take in as much of the picture as you can. The military, the civilian agencies of the government are filled with people just like you and me. Some good, some bad. But it shouldn't surprise you that there have always been, though it probably varies from time to time, many people within the government, all levels, agencies and House, Senate, committee staffers, members of the CIA and so forth, who believe that people do have a right to know, that the people can handle the truth, and that the truth embargo ultimately was not the right policy, and it needed to end. They've always been there. Now, to what extent their numbers were, to what extent the influence they had over the decision makers, well, we don't really know, though I'm sure there'll be plenty of historians that will try to find out. And so there's always been an internal pressure, I guess you could say, pressing outward, though not too great. And then you have the external pressure coming from the disclosure movement itself and the researchers and all that pressing inward, trying to get the government as a policy to end the truth embargo. And so when the Cold War ended, I think increased the number of people that are favoring moving forward. As the research, the citizen research went forward and more evidence was massed, that helped. As the media started to cover the issue more broadly with thousands of articles, which I have, thousands of them are on my website right now with links, that loosened things up. And of course, any ET activity, any sightings, tampering with nuclear weapons, crop circles, whatever the hell, that's stimulating. And so there is the general path is forward, leading towards disclosure. And it's a question of how fast it's going and what have you. But we were never able to get a breakthrough. We tried. The citizen science activist movement could never get a true breakthrough. We did various things, they were all nice, and they all maybe helped a little bit, but none of them broke through. And the reason, there were two fundamental reasons for that. The citizen science people, myself and others, and activists, did not have the resources, I mean big, big time money, and didn't have the gravitas, the backgrounds, the curricula vitae. We, just regular people, a doctor maybe here, or just a working class person. The members of MUFON were not, the last organization that had real, what I would call high level gravitas was NICAP. NICAP was a real problem for this issue. Of course, it was way back. It was very early. But it was filled with scientists and academics, intellectuals, and so forth. And McDonnell was their science guy, and he was going all over the country giving very scientific-based lectures to engineers and scientists about the ET issue, making a very powerful case that, well, yeah, I don't think we've got anything like that. And so one of the things that the government had to do to maintain the truth embargo was get rid of NICAP, which they did.
There's another issue, too, about NICAP,
yeah.
Because I knew Kehoe and I knew Richard Hall and everything, is that NICAP was, in essence, a very, very poorly run organization. And for that, Major Kehoe is to blame. He didn't know how to handle the finances. The organization constantly had issues. We'll get into more of that in our next segment with Stephen Bassett and Gina Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.